Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. We take a portion of today's epistle from Romans chapter 6, this portion, verses 12 through 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My big brother Robert, I'm the youngest of four, and the brother closest to me in age, he's down in San Diego. I get to go out and visit him this week. His birthday, going to celebrate and kind of, you know, give him a hard time. He's turning 69, but he's a wonderful brother. We're very, very close, and I drove him crazy when we were growing up. I was always following him around. I mean, I just bothered him so much. Like, please, you know, take a break already, right? But he would always play with me. He was so good to me. And Mom and Dad would send us out to do various chores. We were all over the place, working hard in the house, outside the house. And one of the chores during the fall is to go and rake up the leaves and clean up the yard. So we had these big trees in the front yard, so we'd be raking up all the leaves. And we had fun trying to make the largest pile we could possibly make with leaves. And some of those piles were really, really big. And so one of the things my big brother would do is he'd grab hold of me and he'd start to rock me back and forth up in the air with his arms and say, one, two, and then let me go at three. And I thought it was great. I'd be flying through the air, landing in those leaves in that big fat pile. But every now and again, he just had to be a big brother. He'd get me and go, one, two, do I see poop? Three. And I'm all like, no, freaking out. I don't want to land in the poop, right? Who would? You know, there are two ways in life. There's the way of manure, the way of uncleanness, unrighteousness, and there's a way of purity. There's a way of God. Back in college, I had a really good friend who came back stumbling and needed some help. His girlfriend had just broken up with him, and he was emotionally devastated. So he drank and drank and drank and drank, and he was so drunk, he could hardly stand. And as I was trying to take care of him, I saw what was coming. So we had to go into the restroom, and he was so weak and disoriented, he couldn't even get himself over the commode. And I was there to literally physically hold him up as we were spending that quality time in the bathroom. Once again, he had encountered poop in life. He had responded to a state of affairs by despairing and by reacting as he did. People do it all the time. Men enter into various types of manure as well. I want to ask you to turn to Proverbs 5. We have a warning from God, Proverbs 5. I guess it's one of those scriptures that isn't read very often out loud in church, but oh well, here we go. Proverbs 5. There are two kings, there are two ways. There's King Jesus and his way of life and righteousness. There's a way of sin and darkness and manure. This is a warning against another form of manure. Proverbs chapter 5, by the way, page 628. I was trying to get Bibles distributed earlier today. 628. Please follow with me, and I'll ask you to read out loud at a couple of verses. Proverbs chapter 5, page 628 and 629. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not get near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. This is a command, admonition to all men. Let's read at verse 15. Let's read it together out loud. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Thank you. Thank you. Let them be for yourself alone, not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Verse 20, let's read verse 20 together, just verse 20. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord. He ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That's another form of darkness and unrighteousness, the path of manure that is in the world that people will choose to follow because of sin. I got to tell you, I'm very excited for all that's going on today on Father's Day, but just when I thought it couldn't get any better, Jaden Lopez walked into the sanctuary. Seminarian Jaden Lopez, he's getting married today at 3 p.m. And what did he choose to do with his morning in preparation for holy marriage? He's in God's house to receive his word and his sacrament. And this is how men stay away from the path of crap, and who stay in Christ to serve the living God. Bless you, brother. May you always have that priority. There are three seasons in men's lives who serve the flesh. Three seasons. If you're going the other way, the wrong way, the way of poop and manure, this is the three seasons. First is the season of the young man who chooses the way of darkness. That first season is all about immorality. I'm going to drink it up. I'm going to commit sexual immorality. The second season is a way of career and prestige, and look at me as I get the brass ring. And the third, don't think you don't have any more threats when you get older. The third season is kick back and look at all that I've earned and gained in life. I filled my vats. Look at me. Look at my holdings. Look at my riches. Look at my pride. That's the way of darkness and unrighteousness and poop that Jesus does not want you to go into. Fathers, one more example. Illustration number 5, if you will. Discipline. What is the way of discipline in the godly father who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows firsthand that all of his sins as a dad, when he was once a son, when he was a husband, as a brother out in the world, all of his sins have been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. God has shown that man compassion, and they know it, and by this Holy Spirit, they know what discipline is. Godly discipline from the man of faith who follows the light is to spend time with his children, to listen to them, to have compassion towards them, to have empathy towards them, to bear their crosses, to instruct, to train, to teach. The man who resorts to the other, notice the air quotes, discipline, yelling at their children, and resorting to corporal punishment right and left, is living the way of poop in their family. And that's not what we're called to do. So there are two ways, and there are two kings. And I'm going to show you from Scripture another way of summarizing the warning from God. This time I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter in our Bibles. So let's go to 2 Peter and go over to the Catholic Epistles, so-called. And we're going to go to Peter, 2 Peter. Go way to the back. Go to page 1207. 1207. And this time we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 22. Chapter 2, verse 22 of 2 Peter. This is page 1208. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. We got 2. 2 Peter 2, 22. This is on page 1208. Okay, let's read together 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. And this is about those who turn from the way of righteousness. They turn from the way of righteousness. Here it is. Let's read together God's word, 2 Peter 2, 22. We read together out loud. What the true proverb says has happened to them, the dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah. That's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have a clear picture. We are not called to be in the mud. We're not called to be in the junk. We're not called to be in the darkness. We are called to be children of God. And that is what you are. You have been baptized. All of the mud, all of the junk, all of the poop has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. You have been purified. You have been cleansed. And sin and the world and the devil want to try to deceive you that it ain't so. And when you get that temptation, you tell the devil to take a hike. Because the truth is unchangeable. God's promise and covenant to you is irrevocable. You are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and your holy baptism proves it. And so when Paul starts talking in Romans chapter 6 about the Christian life, some people get all concerned, you know, we're saved by grace, the free gift of God. And now it seems like so many people struggle with Romans 6, 7, and 8 because it's about the new life. Are we returning back to law or something? Of course not. In the first part of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 10, before our epistle assigned today, that section of 6, 1 to 10 is full of what we've referred to as indicatives. These are declarations of who and what you are. You have been baptized into Christ Jesus. You've been buried with him in his death. You are now righteous in the sight of God. That's who you are. That's your identity. You don't belong to the darkness anymore. That's the truth. That's the fact. That's what God says. God says, let there be light. There's light. Lazarus, come out. He came out. He says to all of you today, you are cleansed. You are washed. You are pure. You are mine. That's who you are. And any other word is from Satan. And he lies all the time. Get thee behind me, Satan. Romans 6, 11 to 14 today is that section which takes those imperatives of what you are, indicatives of what you are, into some imperatives how God commands us to live. But don't be discouraged. We're not returning to the law. Rather, in God giving these commands, he gives you the strength and the power to do what he says. They're called grace imperatives. Grace imperatives. So here we are. We're going to start with two imperatives that appear at Romans chapter 6, 12 to 13. There's actually three imperatives of Romans 6, 12 to 13. And you can go ahead and go to the back of your bulletin. If that's easier, we can do that. Let's go to Romans 6, and we're going to look at 12 and 13. Just 12 and 13, those two verses there, 12 to 13. And there are three command imperatives about how you can live now by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit as a gift, as a gift, as a gift. Let's read together those two verses, 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Those three imperatives that God enables you to live by the power of the Spirit and by his word and holy baptism and the Lord's Supper. He's powerful to do it. He's able to do it. And he does it in those who belong to Jesus, even as we go through our struggles. So let me give you some key words here to understand. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Reign. That's to have power over, to control like a master. Sin puts up this front to propose that he is your master, that it is your master. It's personified in the Bible, especially by Paul, like this monster who tries to control you. It tries to control you as your king. But you have a different king. You have the King Jesus Christ. In fact, every time you confess Jesus, Savior, and Christ, you confess him as king. Christ is king. He's the one you follow now. He's the one you belong to. We don't let sin reign in our lives. Jesus reigns in our lives. At the same time, as Christians, our bodies are referred to as mortal bodies. That word is not incidental. It's a very important word in this text, mortal bodies. It means we are still in the body that fell to sin. It means that within the Christian, we still have in mortal bodies that will die someday, the tendency and the desire, is what we mean by passions in this text, to go the way of the world that sin likes to tune into and follow. Every Christian, this is so important you hear this, every true Christian still experiences the desires of the mortal body. If anyone comes along and says, look, if you're really a Christian and truly a Christian, you won't feel those desires anymore of the mortal body. That's a lie. That's an inaccuracy. And if we're trained and taught wrongly, if we are then feeling those desires, we're going to think that maybe I'm not really a Christian. Get that false teaching out of here. We have mortal bodies, therefore we relate and we understand to the desires. They're there. Don't be surprised that they're there. I keep quoting this all the time from Luther's on Christian liberty. The godlier the man, the more doth he feel the battle. The godlier the man, the more doth he feel the battle. We feel it more. We feel the passion, desire more. You know what? You know why? Because Satan can't stand the fact that you belong to Jesus. So he's after you now. But we know what's up. And we know that when we feel it, what do we get to do? We get to run back to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We get to lean on him when we're weak so that we can be strong in Christ. And we get to say to that desire and passion, no. Remember that campaign about, you know, drugs and all that? Just say no. Well, it really applies here. No. I don't belong to you. I belong to Jesus Christ, my King. Don't present. I love this word in the Greek. It's like coming before a commanding officer as I present myself to you. It's making yourself at the avail of a higher power. I'm here to serve you. And what we're being admonished is don't come before sin and Satan and go, here I am to serve you, sin and Satan, so you can lead me into all the poop in the world. Don't do that. but rather present yourself to God. And here's where it gets really practical. It's how you use your members, your instruments. I'm waving my arms around because these are the instruments. These are the members of our body, our eyes, our mouth, the members of our body. What are you doing with the members of your body? Okay, that's the question. And here, look, here's a distinction. If you use your members to serve sin, the members of your body become weapons. They become weapons that hurt other people. If you use the members of your body to serve God, they become tools to serve other people, to help other people. And that's how we know what's going on the inside. Are we serving sin or are we serving God? Verse 13. Wow. Here's the highlight. Can't get away from it. Look at verse 13. I know we read it once. I'm going to read it out loud. This is the part of 13. As those who've been brought from death to life. Wow. The Bible declares, brothers and sisters, you have already experienced a resurrection in your life. This is the first resurrection for Christians. You have that resurrection. It's happened. You have been raised already from death to life. You were buried and you were raised. That's your status now. You are incorporated into the Lord Jesus Christ, who defeated death and rose from the dead. That means he has given unto you his life and his power to live for him as he walks with you as a risen one, because you're risen too. That's who you are. So we're left here with a choice. And by the way, we talk choice, and I know many of you are theologically and doctrinally acute when we talk about Lutheran theology. So I'm going to give you just a really quick summary here. We confess, along with Augustine and Luther and our confessions. Stage one of biblical anthropology were about men, people, male and female. We were created in perfection in the image of God. God said, jump. We said, how high? We were in complete alignment with the mind and the will of God. Stage one. Then sin came into the world. Stage two. And at stage two, all we can do at stage two is unconverted and dead in sin, Ephesians 2:1, is to sin. But what about free will? Well, okay, I'll grant you free will. You have all the free will in the world to sin. That's stage two. But at stage three, when you're born again by the water and the Spirit, now you have a choice by the grace of God. How about that? You have a choice. As a child of God, as a man of God, you have a choice. Will I follow sin or will I follow Christ, my Savior? No commands here, just the facts in verse 14. Sin has no dominion over you. You are no longer under the control of sin. Fact. You have a new king. The king of love, my shepherd is. So you are not under law that condemns you anymore. You are under grace because you have been set free. And now you're set free to serve the living God. That's your new life because you have been raised with Christ. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.